Welcome to the Doctor's Life Podcast with Diane Ansari Wynn, MD. Dr. Diane is a stress and burnout coach for doctors. With her 15 years of experience as an anesthesiologist and certification as a physician development coach, Dr. Diane coaches doctors on how to live a rich life of purpose, fulfillment, freedom, and happiness both at work and at home. In this podcast, Dr. Diane brings together doctors and researchers that are experts in health, wellness, stress, and burnout, as well as doctors that have been successful in clinical practice, academics, non-clinical careers, and business to share their expertise and life experience so that you can live your own life purpose, fulfillment, freedom, and happiness. To get free access to a PDF and video of easy and proven strategies that melt stress away and keep it away, simply register at www.dianeansari-win.com. That's www.dianeansari-win.com. Now here is your host, Dr. Diane Ansari Wynn.
Hi, it's Dr. Diane here, and I have a quick request before we jump into the show. If you like this podcast, it would mean so much if you took just a moment to hop over to iTunes, write a review, and rate the show. That is how other people will find the show and get the same great value from it that I hope that you're getting. It just takes a few moments to click a star rating and write a quick note. Now, on to the show.
Well, welcome, everybody, to the Doctor's Life Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Diane Ansari Wynn. And today we have a really exciting topic. We're going to talk with a young doctor in training, which will give an amazing perspective on what's going on with our medical students and our young doctors. I'm excited to do this interview with Dr. Joanna Yaros. Dr. Yaros and I actually met. I was a student in one of her fitness classes, and we met and found out that I'm a doctor. She's a med student, and she was very curious about burnout and concerned about burnout and wellness, and she wanted to talk to me knowing that I'm a physician development coach. So she and I got to know each other, and I'm so happy to be interviewing her today. She's a very avid wellness advocate and practices physician wellness in her own life. She graduated from Northwestern with a bachelor's degree in neuroscience and Spanish, and before she started medical school at the University of Illinois College of Medicine in Chicago, where she was accepted in the top 10% of candidates. She spent a gap year as a project manager and implementation specialist for Epic Systems. As I said, she was accepted into her medical class in the top 10% of candidates, and she received a merit scholarship for 4 years of training. She's a patient-centered medicine scholar, Polish-American Medical Society student, executive board member, and recipient of the George H. Miller HSSR grant for interprofessional research, among others. During her medical training, she has done research projects, and they've resulted in 5 poster presentations and 1 publication in the fields of physical medicine and rehabilitation and clinical informatics. As I mentioned before, outside of medicine, Joanna is an avid work, that's W-E-R-Q. It's a form of dance fitness and dance instructor here in Chicagoland. She's been dancing for 15 years. She's been a fitness instructor for 4 years. And she's been interested in health and well-being for as long as she can remember. So we're so happy to have Joanna on the show today because she is not only a very smart, superstar medical student, but she's very involved in being healthy and well. And we're going to have an exciting conversation about that today. Joanna, welcome to the Doctor's Life Podcast.
Hi, Dr. Ansari Wynn. Thank you for introducing me. It's a pleasure to get to speak with you today. I feel really passionate about the topic of health and wellness, so it's an honor to be talking to you about this today. And I'm really excited to see what the conversation will hold.
I am too. We're going to start like we do with all of our other guests, and we'd love to hear how you got into medicine and how are you finding your medical education to be so far?
I think a lot of medical students, when they're applying to medical school, kind of think about how they got into medicine, and they can feel this vocation of, oh, I really, really need to go to medical school, and they can't pinpoint it. And for me, I think that vocation started very early. I grew up in a bilingual Polish American family. I was a first generation American. Nobody in my family was in medicine, but my parents were very into helping the community and helping others. And so my first interaction with medicine was through a family friend who stayed with us from Poland. She came over to the United States. She was probably 12 years old. And she had muscular dystrophy. And her only way to get adequate treatment was to come from Poland to the United States, to come to one of the hospitals in Chicago. And she couldn't afford that, so she stayed with my family for extended periods of time. And at the time, I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. Her treatments lasted for probably 7 or so years. So that was the first time that I got to see medicine with a peer, taking her through her appointments to her physical therapy, even to surgery. That kind of gave me a glimpse of medicine, and I saw that as a path towards helping others and helping the community. At that time, I wasn't considering medicine yet. As I grew older, I got very interested in science, but I was also very interested in dancing. As I progressed through my schooling and my dancing, I saw that I could help my community, still have some scientific exploration, and pursue the creative side of my mind through medicine. And so medicine became extremely attractive to me. And the final solidifying point was in college when I was sitting in the office with one of my professors and recommenders. He asked me to draw this pie chart, and it had pieces of the pie, and each piece was a piece that I wanted to develop in my future career. And I thought I was going to draw, like, you know, 4 pieces of the pie. And I ended up drawing probably 25 reasons for why medicine was really important for me.
Oh, that's
so
fantastic.
That solidified it for me because I was like, I can't do any of these 25 things anywhere else but medicine. And so that's how I got into medical school.
Oh, it's a really great story.
And I'm kind of hoping that maybe somebody else out there who's a pre-med is listening to this and is like, wow, that's a great idea. I need to draw out a pie and see if I want to use my language skills and I want to be talking to people every day and I want to do some scientific research and realizes that the only place that they can do that is medicine. I mean, there is certainly something intangible like this vocation that I feel, and I think it's a product of all those 25 pieces on that pie that I wrote down that day.
Yes, it's certainly a rich field. There's so much that you can do within medicine, clinical medicine, research, administration, even public health, population health. As you said, you can use your skills as an individual and bring that to medicine. As a matter of fact, we were discussing with Dr. Von Braun on diversity in medicine and how it's so important to have people bring their entire self to medicine. And that includes their cultural heritage, such as in your case, with your family being from Poland and you're being bilingual and Polish and English, and having those experiences that you had with your friend that you'd accompanied to. And I know it was Shriners, so I'll just put in a little plug for Shriners because I love Shriners Hospitals. All of those things come together and can come together for someone that's interested in medicine. I'm wondering, since you've been in medical school for a little while, and we're interested in talking about wellness and health, what do you see in terms of your medical school class or maybe the residents and or the attendings that you're interacting with in terms of what they are experiencing and what they're wanting in terms of their work-life integration, work-life balance?
Yes, definitely. I'd love to talk about that. So just to mention to everybody, I'm currently a third-year medical student. I've spent about 12 weeks on internal medicine. And in those short 12 weeks, I've seen a lot of great things, and I've seen a lot of things that have really scared me about my future and my longevity in medicine. So what are some of the great things that I've seen? I've seen people taking care of acute illnesses and making people better really quickly and feeling satisfied and happy at the end of the day. I've seen residents and physicians hugging patients and high-fiving patients that are now better or that had something minor but that was a big problem for the patient that we were able to fix quickly, doing really well. I'm seeing people who are becoming more active and people who are bringing their lunch to work every day and making the effort to live a full, well-rounded, healthy life. On the other hand, I'm also seeing things that are really, really concerning for me. In those short 12 weeks that I've been on internal medicine, I've seen people who have told me they're depressed, and it's not, you know, one or two, but a large majority. I've seen people working, you know, 75, 80, 90, 100-hour work weeks, and it's really been taking a toll. And I think that difficult lifestyle has trickled down from attendings to residents and down to the medical students. And so I feel that in my daily life, too. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I'm seeing is this huge pressure to be perfect all the time. And I think that definitely also takes a toll on wellness and well-being. And not having the time to diet and exercise and sleep, having a toll on patient care, too. The amount of emotional energy, the amount of physical energy that we can provide to patients. And that's something that also is really concerning for a medical student to see.
So I guess the way that I see it is that, you know, medicine is physically and emotionally, even spiritually and morally challenging.
Certainly.
And so what I like to help doctors with is how to manage it. And then also, of course, it's important on the organizational level, too, to support physicians in terms of the design of the practice and the support that individual physicians have in their practice of medicine. Are there programs in place, support in place, either formally or informally, in terms of supporting the students, the residents, and the attendings in terms of how they can manage their day-to-day stresses and support them in terms of their wellness goals?
Yeah, so I can't speak much to the attending side, but I can definitely speak to the resident side and the medical mm-hmm. student side. I think mm-hmm. probably within the last 5 years, there's been a huge push in medical education to have these wellness programs or stress lectures. And I've actually just been to one yesterday for the M3 class, and that we've had them in the M2 and M1 class. And I know that at other schools, for example, Northwestern, where my brother is at, these lectures are also mandatory. And so I think that there is definitely a recognition that 40% of physicians are burnt out compared to like 30% mm-hmm. of the population, and that 50% or more of residents are burnt out at any given time. And so there is definitely a recognition that there are stressors and that we need to address it. However, I think that these lectures and talks are kind of a largely misguided or futile simply mm-hmm. because they are just that. They are a lecture or a talk that kind of tells mm-hmm. you, I would really like for you to diet properly and appropriately. I would really like for you to spend time exercising 5 days a week. I'd love for you to get sleep. However, despite these lectures and talks, I know that the residents just got one at one of my sites on one of the mornings, and they had to come in early for that talk, and it was kind of ironic because I was...
Okay, that's funny.
talking to them afterwards about it, and they were kind of upset because they thought it was ironic for a wellness lecture to be so early in the morning and for them to be told that they need to sleep more when this is kind of cutting into that. So these are just some of these inconsistencies that I'm seeing, and they are laughable, but they're also pretty serious because they're mm-hmm. having an impact on all of us. I would love for some of these efforts to be a little bit more about changing the culture within medicine and making it more acceptable for attendings and residents and students to take time out of their day to do self-care, more so about that than about, you know, lecturing and telling us what we do need to do, because I think we are now aware of what we need to do. So mm-hmm. that's kind of my takeaway from that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You've made wellness an integral part of your lifestyle. You've continued that into your medical education, and you share with others. Wellness is a part of your lifestyle.
Kind of from a very early age, I learned that taking care of my mind and my body and my soul allowed me to do the best work and to contribute to society in the best way that I could, because I was happy and because I was fully there and present and energized. Being able to be your full present self for the patient. I think that taking care of yourself saves you time in the long run, because you are faster and you're more efficient and you're happier. And when you're happier, you're doing a better job. I really, really believe that if I'm going to be a physician, I really need to practice what I preach. And I think that's kind of a resounding thing in my medical school class, we all would love to be role models for our patients. And that involves dieting and exercising because those are things that we are recommending to our patients. And it would be kind of ironic if we didn't do those things ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked about this. And it's come up in other conversations in the podcast as well as
yeah.
And when, you know, when people think of healthy groups of professionals, doctors doesn't usually come up on the list. Like,
oh, no.
You know, if you used to say, like, the top three healthiest professions be maybe fitness instructors and nutritionists or diabetes educators, who, you know, but there'd be a lot of other things that would come up before physicians. We're not the models of health, really. I mean, you listen to your doctor when they don't look healthy. They seem tired or irritated or stressed.
I know that I've had those thoughts as a patient before, and I would assume that many patients kind of feel the same way because they see that their doctor isn't able to make it work. And they're thinking to themselves, well, this is an expert in health. How am I supposed to make it work if they're not making it work? That's something I've definitely thought about.
Right, right. Yeah. Are you seeing then, with the, more of the emphasis on wellness, are you seeing that more of your colleagues and medical school and maybe residency are adopting more wellness practices or trying to get better sleep, eat better, exercise, do some sort of, you know, meditative practice or spiritual practice, just to kind of look at the broad categories of self-care.
Absolutely. I think that just recently in our generation, exercise has become kind of trendy. And so I do see some of that in my classmates as well, and people are making time after lectures or over lunches to go get some exercise. I'm not really sure if the large majority that's doing that is doing it because they recognize the value of it or because it's trendy, but I'm really happy that they're doing it anyway.
Right.
I'm really happy they're doing it anyway. I do notice that the large majority, including some of my close friends who I drag to the gym personally all the time or who I take out to eat at healthy restaurants or encourage to sleep, do fall off of the cliff during really stressful periods of time. And I find that when I'm stressed out, for example, prior to taking a large exam or giving some sort of presentation, that's when I need that exercise. For me, that's dance or those moments where I get to speak with somebody, a friend or a family member that's close to me, or when I eat that really, really healthy salad and I feel energized. That's when I need it the most, when I'm stressed out. And I see most of my classmates still falling off of the cliff at those stressful times and kind of throwing wellness away. Sleep is also something that I think people really, really neglect.
I don't want to knock trying hard and working hard because I still firmly believe in all of that. But there's that balance there. And I like your perspective that actually if you want to get ahead, the things that can help you become a healthier physician and a better physician are actually taking care of yourself. The mindset is that you have to sacrifice yourself. But the thing is that if you take better care of yourself, you actually have more to give. You have more reserve. And like you said, maybe you don't have to stay up that extra hour studying because you're well rested and you caught it the first time. You didn't have to stay up and like pound it
and
in.
Even
you know, into a tired brain.
And even just taking something like a simple walk over lunch, it's something that I do all the time. If I have to take a phone call over lunch, I'll go outside and I'll walk around the hospital. And, you know, residents will see me and they will kind of look at me like, I've never seen anybody do that before. But it's something that I find very energizing and helpful and something that breaks up my day and I'm still able to get, you know, my talk or my conversation in, but I'm doing something that's productive for me too. So I think that there are definitely strategies for people to do that. And the other thing I was going to say is throughout my medical schooling so far, I've gone through the steps really worrying that because I do all of this self-care and wellness and I go out of my way to have a salad for lunch and make my food and prepare everything and exercise and sleep, that I was going to get behind. I was so, so concerned and it didn't happen. And I'm very thankful, and I think that all of these wellness strategies have really contributed to my health and my happiness and my success.
Awesome. You have been very successful so far, and I'm sure that you'll
so far.
Be very successful. Now I have no doubts about
you.
Alluded some to some of the things that you do to support your own wellness, but would you mind just doing a quick rundown of things that you're finding that because as we just said, you're able to fit these things into your schedule and still be a successful student. So it's not theoretical. It's nice to hear someone that's actually doing it and what they're actually doing. Then if someone's taking notes, they can just jot them down.
So the first thing is diet. I buy all of my food fresh from Whole Foods. I prepare my breakfast the evening before I leave in the morning. Every single night, I buy this big salad from a place called Sweet Green. Every single night, it's the same thing. I just switch up the ingredients, and so I have a breakfast and a lunch ready to go for the next day. And it's done pretty much within 30 minutes during my evening. It could be at 9 p.m., it could be at 7 p.m., whenever I get home. I always fit in some form of exercise into the day. I actually looked at my Fitbit, and I have gotten 15,000 steps every single day for the past, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, with a few exceptions. And I do that by always taking the stairs. So on my recent rotation, my residents were kind of laughing at first and then joining in because I would make them take the stairs to the fifth floor every day. And then by the end of the rotation, they got used to it and they thought it was great. But the first day that I suggested it, they definitely thought I was a little out there. So I definitely try to incorporate either taking the stairs. If I take the train, I usually try to skip the first stop. So the stop where I would get on, I skip and I actually walk to the next stop. So I get out of bed a little bit early, 10 or 15 minutes, and instead of going to my train station, I go to the station that's the next station. So I get some walking in there, and I'll usually be listening to a podcast. That podcast will get kind of some information into my brain early on in the day, and I also do that in the evening. In terms of sleep hygiene, I actually have a timer, and so I go to sleep and wake up at a regular time. Obviously, that will change by rotation, but trying to keep that as stable as possible is probably the best thing to do. For me, that's 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. or 6 a.m., depending on the rotation. I also do some weekly yoga and meditation just once a week. It's usually on Saturday afternoons. It's the only time that I have. Mm-hmm. And I find that it's really nice to kind of reflect on the full week on Saturday evening. And that may also include some journaling. I do also do keep a journal that I will jot things down in the morning and in the evening as I have time. And then the last thing I think is really important and people don't really do that often, and I wish they did more, and that's talking to other medical students and other professionals in our field about some of our challenges. Because I think the more that we talk about some of these issues and try to incorporate health and wellness and encourage each other, the more benefit we'll all have. And as a result, we'll be able to take better care of our patients. So that's what I do.
Well, that sounds like that it is doable. Like you said, it takes a little bit of extra effort, but it doesn't sound as though it's not like you're saying, oh, I get up at 4:30 every morning and I go to the gym for 90 minutes and then at 6 o'clock I meditate for half an hour and then I make my breakfast. You know, it actually sounds doable and something that you fit into your day. Say that if someone were saying like, okay, well, she does everything. And, but if someone was to pick like, one or two things that they could start with to incorporate into their own self-care and wellness, what would you recommend? What do you find that's like the most powerful thing that you incorporate into your day?
I think the healthy diet is definitely a huge part. I think in medicine we are always saying that 30% of what we do is the medication and 30% of what we do is the diet and 30% of what we do is genetics. And so if you can control 30% of your health with just diet, getting fresh fruit and vegetables into your routine, for me that's oatmeal with some strawberries or blueberries in the morning, I think that's a really nice step. And if you want to just pick one meal, for example, I'm going to have a really healthy lunch every day or a really healthy breakfast, I think that's a really nice starting point towards making a big impact on your health. And then the other thing is exercise. And so for me, I usually spend some time, usually in the evening, doing some dancing. 45 minutes to an hour, it doesn't have to be every day. But for somebody that's just starting, I think my best recommendation would be trying to do what I do in the morning, which is get a 10 or 15 minute walk in. And then maybe over lunch, if you've got some extra time, 10 or 15 minutes, don't be afraid to go out there, go outside, walk around or walk around with a friend. Mm-hmm. Those are small things that really add up. So those would be my two things.
Well, thanks.
Those walks really clear my mind. And so if there's, been something that's gone on that day with a patient or with a colleague, I'm kind of able to stop my sympathetic response and my fear and anxiety and just kind of relax and process and think about it. And then I'm able to return, for example, after lunch with a much better attitude and usually a solution.
Well, those are really great suggestions and some things that somewhere that you can start, or maybe if you're already doing some things, there's some great suggestions to add to your routine. Any last thoughts, Joanna?
I think that what I would love for most people to get out of this podcast, that as a medical student, this is a really important topic for us, and that we are really, really excited to talk about wellness and health, and that we would love to see some sort of a cultural shift from faculty and staff and residents in terms of expectations for health and wellness, more encouragement to take care of ourselves, because I think sometimes we would like to do some of these things, and it's really, really difficult to do so when the people that you are working with don't hold the same thoughts or values, and you have to conform.
I'm glad you said that. And I would also say that what struck me, one of the things that struck me about what you're saying is that as medical students, you all have the opportunity to spark and reengage some of the excitement and some of the strategies that we as older physicians may have gotten, as you said, gotten out of the habit of doing. And I was really struck by your story about how you started climbing the stairs and your team thought you were a little bit nuts, but then by the end of the rotation,
they did.
You were doing it too. So it kind of, it can go both ways, and I want to
encourage
our young doctors who they'll be the example and don't feel necessarily like you have to conform to the way that, the way that your mentors are behaving. We don't always have the best habits. And so, we're looking for motivation and encouragement as well. And, we want to be good role models too. So thank you so much for your insights. It's been a really engaging and exuberant conversation, and I feel very hopeful and optimistic. And for now, we'll say goodbye. Thank you again to our young Dr. Joanna Yaros of University of Illinois School of Medicine. It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you, and I really appreciate your taking the time out of your busy schedule to share your insights with us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So until next time, everyone, thank you again for listening to the Doctor's Life podcast, and I'll look forward to bringing you interesting and exciting topics, helpful topics as we move forward. Until then, everybody, I hope everyone stays happy and healthy. Take care.
You've been listening to the Doctor's Life podcast with Diane Ansari Wynn, MD. Go to www.dianeansari-wynn.com to read show notes, listen to past episodes, share your comments and show ideas, and pick up your free PDF and video of easy and proven strategies that will melt your daily stress away. That's www.dianeansari-wynn.com.